Hello, everyone, and welcome to another CD of the month. This one is going to be a little bit different because it's going to be our very first two-part CD of the month. So this, in our first part this month, we're going to be talking to Matt Jones from Emotion Media, and in the second part we're going to be talking to his business partner, Ben Abbott, also from Emotion Media. And the topic of these two CDs, because it's a really hot topic if you're in business at the moment, which everybody listening is, and that is video, using your video for generating leads and warming up the sales process, because the and I'll let Matt fill you in on all the statistics in just a moment, but it is very obvious that video is the new medium to get information out to your target market, because YouTube is fundamentally the second biggest search engine on the planet, and the tendency for people now to search on YouTube or find information via video is just going through the roof. And you've probably noticed that looking for things on Google and so forth in your search engines, that recently a lot of the results are coming up and they've got a little thumbnail of a video on them. So actually getting leads or generating leads and getting found on Google is becoming a lot more valuable if you are putting your message out there on video. So that's the purpose of these next couple of CDs of the month, is to help you understand what makes a great video, what sort of thought needs to go into it, what all the different types of videos, the purposes of those videos. And then when we get Ben on the call in the next CD, we're going to be talking about the nuts and bolts, and Ben is, he'll blow you away with his ability to give you the information so you can understand it rather than in techie speak. So we'll be looking forward to that. But in this call, we're talking to Matt Jones, and we're going to be talking about the what you need to be thinking about and the different types of videos, so you can start to look at what you can or how you can use video for your business. So Matt Jones, welcome to the call. How are you today?
Very well, thanks, Mick. Thanks for inviting me on.
Oh, look, it's my pleasure. It's always fun to have a chat, particularly about video. It's something that I'm getting pretty excited about. I've been doing mucking around with video for a little while, but you guys are the experts, so who better to talk to? So I guess the first thing that we always do on a CD of the month is get a little bit of a background and find out where you guys came from and how you ended up with Emotion Media and now moving into Explainer Videos. And we'll talk to the people about that as we go along. So tell us your story.
Yeah, well, the story is we didn't start start with video. We basically started, Ben and I, in radio, which is, you know, a bit ironic, really, now that we're dealing in video. But, yeah, we both came from a radio background started dabbling in doing some TV commercials on the side. Ben had a bit of a history of doing TV production back in the day as well. And, after doing that, we set up a bit of a small agency, which started doing bits and pieces of everything, you know, print ads, radio ads, TV commercials, websites. I guess like a lot of businesses, we felt like we had to do everything for everyone. But it soon became clear that, you know, video was starting to become this thing that was, you know, you're just starting to see pop up everywhere, and I guess we were getting more requests for not doing so many, you know, not just doing TV ads, but doing, you know, branding videos or corporate videos. And then I think what really happened was when the costs went down a fair bit, when people were able to start getting videos and not having to spend the huge amounts of dollars that historically you had to pay. I think for us, being a small company dealing primarily with smaller businesses, that's when we found this niche that video was probably the way for us to go. And so we really just thought, well, let's focus mainly on that. And I guess, yeah, over the last couple of years, that's been our primary focus. We still do a bit of TV commercial work and a few other bits and pieces, but primarily that's a distraction, really. It's video.
Yeah.
Video all the way now. So
Matt and Ben, the video.
So, yeah, we're passionate. Yeah, we're very passionate about it. And it's, you know, it's a growth industry. So it's a really exciting time for us.
So let's get stuck into what people need to know about video, because the technophobes out there that are listening are going, oh, well, you know, that's all right for you. You understand how to use it and all that sort of stuff. It's not that difficult. And obviously when we get Ben on the next call, he'll help people understand that it's not that difficult. But it, as you said, it's probably not so much the production of the video that makes a video work or not, makes a video effective or not. It's really the thought process and the design of the content and the type of video and all of those sorts of things that you need to think about before you get started. So I suppose there are different types of videos, I guess. You can do a head to camera, so you're actually speaking to the camera. You can do an animated video, which you guys do a heap of in explainer video, and they're absolutely awesome. You can do a PowerPoint and voiceover. But what would be the different purposes that you could use video for? You know, I guess, you know, some would be lead gen, some to try and create a sale, some for education. What do you find that people are now using video for? What's its purpose?
Yeah, I think every day people are starting to use it for more and more different things. So I think big picture stuff, it's almost taken over every aspect of your communications to a certain extent. But I guess primarily a lot of people are using them for A, lead gen, B, product, you know, branding to a certain extent of saying, here we are, here's what we do. You see a lot of people using them for almost product, how to explain to use a product, or, you know, I'm starting to see a lot of, you know, really, really good videos, but really simple videos from a lot of e-retailers or all these businesses, just showing people how their products work, unpacking them, doing these things. So it's, you know, it's almost just thinking about everything that you normally have used another form of marketing or media for. If you can make that work with video, and you can make it work with video, I think that is the way it's going, particularly now with, we're all on these mobile devices now, and I like to say that, the website as it is now is almost becoming redundant, because you can't read websites on a smartphone. So that's why video is so important, because people will just click play, before they'll read a bunch of text on a website. So, in a nutshell, pretty much everything that you want to explain or get across, you should be in the back of your mind thinking, how would I do that on video?
Yeah. Yeah, and as you've just said, you know, people unboxing things, there's heaps of videos on that. And I was just thinking as you were saying that, because a lot of people, I would assume, would be thinking, well, I don't know that there's much point in me doing a video on a product that we sell or whatever, because we don't sell it online. But what I've noticed, and I'm sure you have too, is that there are a number of retailers that don't sell online around the world doing simple videos on how to use a particular product, how to use this light or how to use this camera or whatever the product may be. And it seems to me that by creating a simple video about it and you know, there are little things, and we're not going to get into that. Perhaps Ben might help us with that next time, where you can actually put text underneath your video on YouTube, because the Google search engines actually look at that text. And if you've got your location mentioned through the text, as well as the service or the product you're talking about, it allows you to be found fairly easily, because if someone's searching for, you know, digital SLR camera Hobart, you're more than likely going to come up if you've got that in the text under your video. And if you show them how to use it, you've got sort of this video time to almost make the sale. So when they walk into the shop, they're going to come and see you and come see the shop, because you've already given them the lowdown, the good oil on the service or the product. So that's obviously a good thing to do.
Exactly. You imagine the customer experience, say, you know, because it's got nothing to do with whether or not you sell online or not. It's how easy you make it for your customers. So imagine if a customer's there on They need something fairly quickly. Say you're building your fence or you're building a mate's fence, and you need to get a tool in a hurry. You're not in front of a computer, but you need your phone and you type in hammer drill Hobart. And there's a listing of five or six different things that come up, but one of them is a video. You're going to click the video. You're going to click play. And if that there's a bit of an instructional video on, here's our new power drill, here's how it works, here's how much it is, here's how you get it. If you tick those boxes for your prospect, nine times out of ten, they're going to come to you. So, it works. And I think even more so with Google Places and things like that, video is more important locally as much as it is if you're an online retailer. Yeah. So it's very powerful stuff. And I understand, Mick, that fear of, oh, it's too hard to do, and I won't get into that today. But, as you know, Mick, it's getting easier and easier every week, every month with these technological advances and the cost of these things coming down, and it's getting easier and easier every day.
Absolutely. I mean, you can do
for
it
for the average person.
You can do it with your iPhone, and as I say, Ben will talk about that next time, but you can even create very simply and very inexpensively what's called a teleprompter with your iPhone. So you can you can actually have the script going in front of you while you're looking at the camera. Uploaded to YouTube, all in minutes. It just doesn't take long at all.
Yes.
So I guess we need to talk about...
I think
about,
there's a shift.
Yep, go ahead.
And I think there's a shift in expectation as well, because there's so much content being uploaded constantly, and it's not broadcast quality content anymore. So I think there's a shift that people don't... they don't expect it to be perfect. It doesn't have to look fantastic, depending on what it is. But if it's a simple message and a simple tip or instructional video, people don't expect it to be $1 million. All they're interested in getting that information as easily and quickly as possible. So they'll thank you for it. It doesn't need to, you don't need to be perfect. Just give them the information, and that's what video is such a powerful tool for.
You don't need the Hollywood production crew and makeup.
No, and people forgive that now. They don't expect that.
Yeah. So what types of businesses are using the videos that you do now? So, your explainer videos, at the end of our conversation, we'll give people the website to go to so they can look at what you've been doing, because, as I've mentioned to you on a number of occasions, I've been looking at video for a long time now, and the product that you guys produce is nothing short of world class. It's the best stuff on video that I've seen around, and it comes from little Tasmania, but you've got customers all over the world, all over the country. We'll talk about that in a minute. But what type of businesses do you tend to attract as a customer for these explainer videos?
It's not so much the businesses we attract, because we're attracting all sorts of businesses. It's more, I think, the marketers behind those businesses. So I think it's the people just trying to make sure that they stay ahead of their competitors. They're keeping their eye on what's going on. So I think it's just people who realize that video needs to play a fundamental part of their marketing strategy now. So because the businesses that we're getting, we're getting a lot of startups, a lot of probably IT-based businesses, which you're going to expect, but we're getting a lot of bricks and mortar businesses as well. So it's really just it depends on who's behind the marketing, who's going, we really need to get on board this. Because realistically, if at the moment it's the best time to use it, because a lot of your competitors won't be using it, so you'll have a clear point of difference just by having one, even if it's not any good, just by having one. Obviously, if it's good, it's better. But, that will – I'm not saying that you have to do it now, because if you don't – but as you know, Mickey, it's like anything, once it gets more popular and everyone's got it, well, then you have to do something else or to get, have a clear point of difference, etc. So, you're finding those businesses that are jumping on now are kind of getting those early bird rewards against their competitors. Yep. So.
And it's in the way I look at it too is it's a little bit like an apprenticeship, and what you said there is just fantastic advice. Just get your business on video, start using video to promote your business, and like you said, it doesn't have to be good. If it is good, it's better. But my experience, in fact, I was watching a video that I produced explaining some software that we created. Probably, I guess I would have produced this video 4 years ago or something like that, and I just happened to click on it yesterday and was watching it, and it was just embarrassing. It was absolutely horrible. And through the process of just doing it, you learn a little bit about, you know, little tips and tricks to how to make it that little bit better and so on and so forth. And so if you get in now, you're starting to learn. So you do have the advantage, as you've just said, because you've got video. That's a point of difference, even if it's not any good. And you'll start to learn how to make it better as you go along. But then when your competition decides, well, I guess we better bite the bullet, that might be a year or two or 3 years down the track from now. They then have to go through all of that learning. And your videos, your messages and so forth are going to be so much more superior to theirs because you've done that learning. So the sooner you get on this, the better. So what sort of things should we start to think about before we just go ahead and start shooting a video? Huge question.
Your script. Yeah.
Okay.
Don't even worry about thinking about a video or the logistics and what it's going to look like and whether or not there's going to be characters or things until you look at the script, because that's the most important thing. Well, you know, overdoing this a couple of years, we've definitely worked out that that's the most important thing. We used to get all excited, and Ben in particular, about, you know, 3D animation and having it look fantastic and all the bells and whistles, and that's great. You know, that's a given, and that's what people pay a lot of money for. But at the end of the day, it's a story, and it goes back, you know, to cavemen. It was the person who told the best story around the campfire, you know, probably got the ladies, or you know, got the biggest bit of mammoth. And it hasn't changed, seriously, over this time. It hasn't changed. Obviously, there's some great marketing principles that you know you can use to influence people, but at the end of the day, it needs to be an engaging story. Don't outstay your welcome. So it's always good to have an outsider look at your business and offer it from their perspective, because you probably, and I know we do that as well, sometimes we get people to do our marketing because we get caught up too much in the detail and don't look at it from, well, what does your customer really want and what would they be interested in? So, at the end of the day, look at creating a good script, and there's a few fundamentals that formulate an effective explainer video or effective video script.
So what should the script contain? What's one of the first things that you would ask a potential customer about their market, or I guess the purpose of the video? What are you trying to do? What sort of questions do you ask to get the script started, if you like?
Yeah, it's almost finding, well, what's the single most important message you want people to get out of this video? Break it down to the single thing, because you really want to have your videos focused on one problem and one solution. Mixed message videos or multiple message videos they don't work. I shouldn't sugarcoat, because it's
it's so like they it end is. Up
people just, there's too much information. They just end up getting confused and can't remember. So you're better off breaking up all your messages into individual videos. But it's that stuff that you've helped us with, Mick. It's, you know, it's identifying what the problem or the fear and frustration is from your customer's perspective.
Yeah.
And then once you highlight what that problem or fear and frustration is, then you provide your solution. You highlight what your solution is. And fundamentally, that's if you watch every video that we create, it generally follows that principle. It's what's the problem that your customer's having from their perspective, and then how does your solution solve that problem for them?
Yeah.
Talk about the benefits. If there's some really compelling features in there that correspond with those benefits, have a chat about the features. But it's not too much about the features. It's more about the solution and the benefits. And then always end your video with a call to action.
Yeah.
Tell them what to do next.
Yep. And make it very, very clear, I expect.
And make it very clear and try and keep it to 60 seconds.
Yep. So, I had another question lined up, but I'll ask that in a minute. But there are, I suppose there are different lengths of video that are effective. So I know that there's been a lot of research done when you're actually making a sales video, which I guess most businesses here wouldn't be doing, but like a sales video generally for internet marketers, they've found that the sweet spot, believe it or not, is between 21 and 29 minutes. Which,
yes.
You know, you talk to people and they go, oh, no, people wouldn't watch a video for that. That's too long. You know, you want to get to the point. But they've done just hundreds and thousands of hours of testing with thousands of videos and have found that a sales video, when you're actually asking someone to buy something, needs to be that in between that 21 and 29 minutes. So a lot of research has gone into that. With an explainer video, as the videos that you do, there is a time frame that is most effective, is there?
Yeah, 60 seconds. Well, that's 54 exactly, they say, but round it off to 60. But you're exactly right. Your sales video is obviously, you know, generally you've had the first date. It could be the second or third date. So, you're invested in it a little bit.
Yeah.
So you actually want to find out more. Think of an explainer video as, you know, almost it's that first date. Basically, its only job is not to generate a sale for you. Mm. That will come later. It is how do you connect with that prospect in the shortest amount of time possible, or the amount of time that they'll give you, which is generally 60 seconds if you're lucky. But then how do you solve their problem and tell them what to do next within that time frame? And really that's all it's doing is we want with our video for them to know that you can solve their problem, and here's how I get my problem solved is I just either give you a call or I can get this free bit of information or I can put in my name and you'll set up a consultation, whatever that call to action might be. But that's its only job. And realistically, if you make it too long, chances are, or figures show, that people will turn it off before they get to the call to action. And if they turn it off before they get to the call to the action, well,
no action.
You might as well not have made your video.
So you've got to tell a story leading up to that call to action. But what sort of call to actions do you generally have in the videos that you create? Because I think that it's important not to leave them hanging. You need very, very clear and very simple, no confusion at all as to what to do next. You know, call this number right now and get this thing, put your email in the box below and we'll send you this thing out immediately. You know, you could call it an ethical bribe, whatever it is, to get in contact with the person.
I think you're right, Mick. I think the ethical bribe's the best way to go, or capture the email address is the best way, because if you leave it up to people to take the next step, you'll be waiting a long time. So what you want to do is offer them something of value or perceived value to get their email address, which could be a report or whatever, or it might just be give us your email address so we can get back to you.
Yep.
Or we can set up this consultation or whatever that might be. Because that way then you've started the communication. They've shown interest that they want to be communicated to, and depending on whether you've got an intricate, follow-up process with emails going over, or if it just flags you to send them an email saying, great, here's the next bit of information, and then you can start to put them through your sales process. But, I mean, for some people, it might be a phone number, but, I think the more that you leave people up to their own devices, we're all busy, we get distracted, remove all the distractions, make it easy for them, and then you've got them where you want them in the sense of being able to take them on your journey then.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Now, going back to that question before I forget it, which I think I may have. You were talking about storytelling and getting that succinct message across, but the thing that you said that I just wanted to reiterate, and perhaps you can expand on it, because it's you sort of said it very quickly, and I think it's so important, and I think most people miss it, and that is from their perspective. So you've got to announce that you understand their problem from their perspective, in their language. How important is that?
It's super important, because we all purchase, or we all make decisions based on emotion. So, if you don't tap into the problem from their perspective, because if you talk about the specifics of your product, It's not going to connect with somebody. Where if you talk about that, hey, we understand your problem, that not having this solution poses you, that's what's going to connect with them. And it shows that you understand them,
yeah,
fundamentally. And that will get their attention. The ears will prick up and go, oh, actually, that they do understand me. They're not trying to sell me. They understand me.
Yeah.
And then. Their ears will prick, and they'll be waiting. They'll be going, well, okay, what's your solution? What is it? And then you give them the solution.
Yeah. And the other thing too that I guess you might want to make a comment on is that by doing that, by narrowing your story and your focus down to one problem and then the solution, but this one problem, it keeps you away from trying to have this catch-all video that we do this, and it always amuses me when you're driving down the road and you look at a sign out the front of a business and they go, we specialize in, and no matter how slow you go, you can't read everything that's on their sign. And it's like, how do you specialize? It's like, that doesn't sounds like you do everything. It doesn't sound like you specialize in anything.
That's right.
If you can really identify what is a problem that your target market is really desperate to solve, they're going to be very interested in your story. Is that what you find?
Definitely. I mean, you know from when you're trying to get your problem solved, you're trying to get one problem solved at a time.
Mm.
So you better just be addressing that one problem for people, because otherwise – you'll just distract them and they'll get confused and they'll go away. It comes back to that thing of if there's a lot of problems that you can solve out there, because you've got a variety of different products and solutions, that's fantastic. But just make sure you're doing one video for each one of those, or as you suggested, find out the major problem that you solve, or the most profitable problem that you solve, and focus on that one.
Yeah.
Because, otherwise it's just lost. People get confused and they run away.
Yeah. So there's no real point to creating a video that is like a brochure, if you like, that, And that's what I expect most people would do. And as you said, that even that would be better than not having a video at all. But we're trying to give you a head start here with this information. But what most people I see that they do through their marketing, and particularly if they get into video marketing, they're still saying, this is us. This is what we do. This is, we've been around for this long. We use this type of material. We use this type of process, and it's all we. And that's a bit of a mistake.
It is. I mean, that stuff can come later too, but that's not the first date. That stuff comes a bit later if you need to show people, you know, your authority and, you know, as you know, Mick, those different things that make people feel comfortable. And that's fine. That's later on when they look at your website or they're having a conversation with you or they're looking at a bigger sales video.
Mm.
But for the first video, the first contact that they have with you is, I've got a problem. I'm typing that problem into Google or whatever means, and I'm looking for my solution.
Yeah.
And realistically, everything else, if you can't get them over that first part, if you can't hold your hand out and say, here's our solution, and we'll take you on the journey to help you have that problem solved, well, they're never going to get – they don't care about your authority. They're not going to get to that point.
Yeah. Now, recently you were asked to go and do a presentation in front of 400 or 500 people, which would have been exciting for you. And
exciting is one word for it.
Because people love public speaking.
Brown undies would be another word for it.
And through the journey and the preparation for that, we've had a couple of conversations, and you started to tell me about brain science and how brain science needs to be used in video. And ever since that conversation, I haven't stopped thinking about it. And it's just so important. In my opinion, it's real leading edge stuff. And so I'd love you to explain what brain science is and how we can apply it to, creating our script and creating our video, the length and how it works and so on and so forth. So what is brain science and what can we learn from it so we can implement it in our videos?
Yeah, well, it's not rocket surgery. It's brain science. it's really interesting stuff. I've stumbled upon it, you know, a while ago from an explainer video company. I shouldn't use the term guru because it's overused, but this guy who's got an explainer video company in Canada that I've learned a lot from, and their fundamental principle is under brain science. His mother was a teacher, and she taught him a lot of this psychological stuff. But it goes back to, as I was saying before, about, you know, the times of storytelling, back to the cavemen, and, you know, people figured out what worked, and scientists have had a look at it, and it's all a bit kind of highbrow and technical. So I've broken it down into something a bit more simplistic and something that we do in explainer videos, hopefully a bit more engaging. But if you kind of think of your brain as you've got a Commodore 64 computer. You know, remember those Commodore 64s from the 80s?
I do.
And that Commodore 64 is hooked up to a big modern 2 terabyte hard drive.
Mm.
Well, the Commodore 64 part of your brain is where all the new information goes. So that's your short-term memory. And there's, as you know from a Commodore 64, there was not a lot of memory in there. So the problem is, if you've got a ton of information coming at you from whatever source, well, let's use video, but if you've got a video and there's a ton of information coming in there, your Commodore 64 can't handle it. It will just shut down. And we all know what that's like. If you've gone to a conference, well, as an example, at iStrategy, there were a bunch of different speakers and different conferences there, and I was pretty excited about a couple of the topics. But unfortunately, the speakers just bombarded us with information on PowerPoint. And as much as I wanted to understand and listen to it, you just can't. You just shut down. You just go, no, and start doodling, drawing little stick men on your pad. And it's not anyone's fault. Well, it was his fault for being boring. But it's not your brain's fault, because your Commodore 64, it just can't handle that amount of information. It just shuts down. So you just don't retain any of it, and you walk away and you don't do anything. But the cool thing is we've got this 2 terabyte hard drive hooked up to it, which is our long-term memory or prior knowledge. It's all the stuff that we know that we file away. We stick it in this big hard drive.
Mm.
So the trick with brain science, or being able to create, you know, really, really compelling stories, is just put enough new information in an engaging and compelling way that people can understand, or at a pace that they can take in. And if you wrap it up with some prior knowledge, so if you put things in there that people already know about, or you use some metaphors or things that people go, yeah, I know about that already, you know. Mm. And basically that new information then links up with the old memory from your long-term memory and creates a brand new memory.
Mm.
That then gets stored away in your old memory, but it becomes this new memory that you actually like, you understand, it's easy for you because it's got this new information, but you've wrapped it up with an old memory. I use on our website, we have the brain science video, and I use this analogy about if someone brings out a new product or a new app and they talk about you know, all the features of it, and it's got this and it's got that and it's got this, it's making it the, you know, the most effective new program, which is so smart, and people just go, well, I don't understand. But if you just said, listen, this new product or app is smarter than Einstein, instantly you go, geez, I reckon that's pretty good.
Because he was pretty smart.
All you've done is grab this new information and wrapped it up with Einstein, and we all know that Einstein was smart. That's our prior knowledge.
Yeah.
You bang the two together, and immediately you go, their new product is really, really smart.
Mm.
And that's just a way that brain science works, and it forms this new memory. And even whether or not it's not true or not, your now immediate idea about this new app is it's good.
Mm.
And I reckon it's better than that other guy's.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Because it's just the way our crazy brains think. Yeah. And it's easier for us. And we always want to do the easiest thing. And I guess, you know, that's kind of our philosophy here at Explainer Videos, is try and make it as simple and easy as possible for everybody, or particularly for your prospects to take the next step. So, yeah, that's where brain science is very, very interesting. And it's something that's very, very easy to put into your story writing, in your script writing, because you're just looking at those, it comes down to that problem, solution, benefits type of scenario. But what you're always trying to do is wrap it up with imagery, metaphors, or things that people already know and they understand. And I guess that's why video is so, because the visual medium is so good, is you just show things that people already, you know, that's all prior knowledge. I know what that is. I've seen that. I know what that means. And it's a much easier way for people to retain information.
Obviously, well, I don't know how many people will have seen your explainer videos, but hopefully many of them will go and take a look at them after this call. But the majority of them, if not all of them, are in some form of animation. And I know that there's a thing called 3D animation and 2D animation. We'll just quickly explain the difference between 2D and 3D animation. I know that's Ben's job, but we'll push in.
Yeah, I guess 2D is just, you know, it's kind of on the flat plane. So things are happening like more like a car, like an older style cartoon, I guess.
Yeah.
Where 3D is happening, you know, it's not 3D with your 3D glasses on, but it's happening on all three axes. So things are moving around within this world. Or if you do have a 3D character, it's got texture on it,
yep,
and all those types of things. So, you know, there's a bunch of different ways to animate. Personally, I like the 2D stuff.
Yep.
I think it sits better with my prior knowledge, I think.
Yep.
But as I said, there's so many different ways to do it. I think the animation is so popular at the moment and it's so effective is because you can create anything. Mm. So basically your stories can come from, you know, the gloves are off as far as creativity goes, so you can create these really compelling things. And I think, you know, we all love cartoons, and our minds, and I guess this is where the brain science comes into it. It's a simplified way of getting a story, really, isn't it? Cartoons, and so we were actually open to that, and they're exciting and they're engaging. So and it's a lot easier to do an animation and have something with a lot going on than it would be to try and to replicate that with people. It would, you know, just be cost prohibitive for most things. And so I think that's why they're so popular at the moment. Yep. That's not to say that it'll continue to go down that path, but
well, things evolve. But I mean, that you've sort of jumped ahead of my question, which is great. You're a mind reader as well as everything else. But I was going to ask the difference in effectiveness when you're this sort of first date video. So this is the first contact a potential customer to your business has with your business, with your explainer videos, are the animated ones more effective than the head to camera? So you got one person talking, you may have some titles flashing up or something like that, but you've already given some reasons, but what are some other reasons as to why the animated stuff seems to be more popular? Obviously because it's more effective, but why are they more effective than just, you know, this head talking at you?
I think it's just because it's more engaging.
Yeah.
And it's more entertaining. Fundamentally, we all want to be entertained. And I think, yeah, with your animation, it's people just, they enjoy them. Again, because it's, in a way, you can really heighten the problem using animation, because if you think, you know, kind of any problem or any scenario, you know, say, I'm thinking this because I'm kind of bald, but, you know, remember when you had a full head of hair? You could show someone with a full head of hair,
yeah,
or you could have an animated character that has this super huge afro, you know, dancing and da, 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 and then go, you know, how did you feel when you lost it?
Yeah.
And then instead of just having a photo of a guy with no hair, you could, you know, do an animation of the hair, you know, disappearing.
Running away.
You know, that's just off the top of my head. But to me, that's something where, you know, that's highlighting a problem, but it's doing it in an entertaining, engaging way. I think it's just a way of kind of heightening everything and making something a bit more, you know, and it's more likely to be shared too and passed around. And but having said that, there's a time and a place, because seriously, if depending on what the context of the message is or who that person is, I still find the face to camera stuff can be more powerful or more compelling. It just depends on what the problem and the solution is.
Yeah. So that goes back to the planning of what you're trying to accomplish.
It's pretty serious. Depends who the person is. I mean, if, say, for example, I mean, Virgin could do their messaging, you know, animated videos, but I'd probably find it more powerful if Richard Branson talked to me on video, because he is, you know, to me, he's Virgin or someone like that. So it just depends on the context.
Yeah.
But primarily for nameless, faceless companies, you know, animation's the way to go.
Yeah. Now,
or it's the best option. You know, I think.
Yeah. You mentioned a word a little while ago called engagement. In your experience with creating these videos and your experience in the marketing area, number one, how important is engagement? And do you have any information, statistics on how long you've got to engage somebody before they just turn you off?
I'll answer the second question, because I've forgotten the first one already. That's how short my attention span is.
So how 7 seconds. Important is engagement?
I'm nuts. But yeah, I mean, the thing is that they say that you've got 56 seconds, you know, with a video. You know, that's some of the research going on there. So you don't have a lot of time. And I think the first 5 seconds of your video is very, very important.
Yeah.
If, you know, you've probably only got that amount of time to capture somebody's attention. So you've got to really make your problem or just really pop from that start. You can't ease into these things. It's got to be
bang,
get your attention, and then keep them on that ride. And that's why they're fairly short. You spend, you know, 15 or 20 seconds on the problem. You spend, 15, 20 seconds on the solution. You might have 10 seconds about the benefits, and then bang into the call to action. So you've got to be very, very vigilant on that, because if people start dropping off anywhere, you will lose them. And the longer you outstay your welcome, you'll go. But, you know, having said that, there's exceptions to the rule. I mean, if you're really passionate or if something's your hobby or something, you watch things for days.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about that. We're just talking about, you know, somebody who's searching. So that they don't really have a vested interest in you yet. So you better make sure that you're doing something that's getting their attention and solving their problem pretty quickly, because as we know, you know, our attention span and the amount of choice and noise and clutter that we're all getting bombarded with constantly makes us pretty brutal when it comes to saying, you know, to turning off. You know, we turn off, you know, more than we turn on, Mick.
Yeah. And just when you were saying all of that, I'm thinking that it's probably very important through the planning. Well, I was having multiple thoughts then about really how much needs to go into the planning and preparation of a 54 or 56 second video. You know, it's not, it should be really inexpensive and shouldn't take long to whip together a 55, 56 second video. But the amount of thought and effort and planning and analyzing and things like that need to go into just creating the script before you actually do the mechanical parts is the real key to success. And the other thing that That's you mentioned, right. I think is really important through that planning process is asking yourself the question, what situation and mindset, what environment and mindset is the person going to be in when they find my video? And the example that I might use is if you had a video that was attached to, say, a Facebook ad, if you were doing Facebook ads, versus mm-hmm. a video that someone would find when they did a Google search. So when someone's in Facebook, what are they doing? They're not looking for anything. They're connecting with their friends and their family and all of that sort of stuff. And your ad is like tapping them on the shoulder, and you're a complete stranger. So you've got to understand that's the environment that you're entering into with your video. So your video or your initial ad needs to take that into account. Whereas if they find your video via a Google, maybe an AdWords campaign, or just finding it organically through Google, what mindset are they in then? Well, they're actually searching for a solution to their problem. So that's when the explainer video type thing is incredibly powerful, because they're already in that mindset. Bang, in the first 5 seconds, if you can enter into the conversation that they're already having in their own mind about their problem and wishing for a solution, and you just nail it in that first 5 seconds, they're going to watch the rest of the video. They're going to follow your suggestion at the end of it for the call to action to make that phone call or to fill in their email address and so on. So, you know, the planning and understanding what space the viewer is going to be in, what environment and attitude they're going to have, or what emotional state they're in when they're going to find your video, is going to be really important in the planning.
Yeah, you're exactly right. People on Facebook, they're there to socialize. They'll love to look at things. So I imagine, you know, if you're showing product demonstrations or things, you know, and that's fine because it's a social thing. But yeah, stay away from trying to sell if you're on Facebook, because you're more than likely offend. So yeah, you're right. There is definitely a time and place for different sorts of videos.
Yeah, absolutely. So all of this has been excellent. I think there's been some absolutely brilliant information shared with people, so they can start to think about getting their business or getting video involved in how they attract customers and how they connect with their customers and so on and so forth. But I would imagine people want to come and have a look at the sort of thing that you do, so they can start to get ideas for what a really good quality. And as I said, folks, I believe that these videos are absolutely world class. I haven't seen anything better anywhere when it comes to this sort of thing. So what can they go and look at, and where can they go and look at it, so they can get a bit of an idea of what a really well thought out and what a really well a good performing video looks like?
If you go and have a look at our website, which is explainervideos.com.au.
Okay.
Excuse me. And you'll be able to see a bunch of our videos that we've already done. There's also a few videos which kind of explain why you should use videos, who we are, some different stats, and there's a brain science video there. We also have a free ebook I shouldn't say ebook because ebooks are generally a bit longer. This is a bit shorter. we like to keep things short, which is called 7 Killer Tips to Making an Effective Explainer Video, which is well worth downloading.
Oh, wicked.
And that just runs through some, you know, seven tips that you should be thinking of when you're going to plan or construct your video. I mean, a really good idea is, you know, if you did a lot of the legwork and you know, follow these tips and worked on the script, and I'm more than happy to, you know, if people want to find out a bit more about the brain science, I think that's a good idea. I think I should almost post something that's got a bit of a breakdown on the brain science principles, because if you follow those things and you get your script done, or you get your script to this place where it's going to work, you know, that the hard work's done. And at the end of the day, whether or not you did an animated video or you just did a screen capture or a whiteboard video, there's so many different ways depending on, you know, your budget and what it is. Mm. You know, you're halfway there, and, you know, as we said, you know, any video is better than no video. But if you have the opportunity of doing your first video and it's, you know, at least it's following these principles that are going to more than likely engage your customer. But, it doesn't mean you have to spend a fortune on these things. It's just trying to just making sure you get that first part right, get the script right.
Yeah.
And, the 7 killer tips will give you a bit of a head start on that. My contact details are on there if you want to have a chat about, you know, the brain science or any other ways that we can help, more than happy to do so.
Excellent. So if they go to explainer videos, so make sure it's videos plural, not explainer video. Or that's is that an American site or something?
Yeah, that's don't give the Americans any money.
No, okay.
or anything. I shouldn't say that.
Well, I'm not editing it out. It's staying. Explain.
Why would you?
Eh?
Why would you? They don't get us, you see. So,
nah. Australian
businesses need an Australian perspective.
So, explainervideos.com.au, and go ahead there and download the 7 killer tips, because I assume Matt was just saying that that you'll put something together to break down the brain science. So, if you go ahead and get the 7 killer tips, they'll have your email address. When that's ready, they can shoot you out a message to get you a link to the breakdown of the brain science as well. So it's really powerful information that you're going to get. You know, there's no cost to it by the sounds of it, and you can start to plan your own videos. And depending on what information we get from the amazing Ben Abbott next time, he'll give you some tips and hints on how to shoot your own videos and upload them and you know, have them attached to your website and so on and so forth. It's not that difficult to do. So that's fantastic information, a tremendous opportunity to get some additional information just by going to explainervideos.com.au. As Matt said, there's a whole bunch of contact information there. If you like to get a hold of Matt and you want to pick his brain about some more brain science or ideas on how to put a good video together, you can do that. You can go to the website as well and check out the explainer videos that are up there, the brain science one. There's a Meet Matt and Ben one, and you can see what we've been talking about, how important it is to engage people straight away, because I love watching these videos. They're really engaging, and they're you know, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but they're a bit like a bus smash. You can't take your eyes off them once you start to watch them. Every single video I've ever watched, I always watch it through to the conclusion, because it's always an engaging thing. So they're, you know, really walking the talk there. So thank you, Mr. Jones, for being part of our CD of the month. It's been fantastic information.
Thanks, Mick. It's been a pleasure. It's been good fun.
I was going to say, you can say something there. I'll leave a gap for you.
There was a gap and I said something. So obviously it wasn't enough. But any time, Mick, I can talk about videos all day. I love them.
Yes, yes. And hopefully everyone listening is going to fall in love with them as well, because the reason that I asked you to be on, and Ben to be on, this CD of the month, because it is it is something that our members really, really need to start to think about. And I personally don't think it matters what sort of business you're in. If you start to use video in the appropriate way, well thought out, well planned out, well scripted, doesn't even need to be well shot. But, you know, if you want to go and talk to Matt and Ben about getting them to do and explain a video for you, you just couldn't simply go wrong, because if done correctly and the proper planning and whatever goes into it, it becomes a very, very powerful lead generator. And something that I thought about through the process, there's no comparison about it, but I think that if you invest in this sort of promotion and engagement and lead generation, it is a very, very small investment compared to what most people invest their marketing dollar and their and paying salespeople and so on and so forth. It's a really good investment for your business, I believe, compared to the traditional way that people do things. So thanks again, Matt, and folks, we'll be talking to you again next time on CD of the Month with Ben Abbott, I guess. So that's an Uncover Hidden Profits CD of the Month for now, and we will see you again next month. Bye for now.